हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
By the accumulation of devotional credits of many lifetimes, the jiva attains faith favorable for development of bhakti. With this faith, if the devotee minimizes his material needs just to maintain his life, real bhakti will arise. This is not the practice of dry renunciation aiming at liberation. Quote, as long as the witches of bhukti and mukti linger in the heart, how can pure bhakti arise? Right, so he's making the point that we dealt with the material desires like that, engaging the senses, and now we're dealing with that controlling of the senses and that living just according to what you need, that is not in the pursuit of liberation, right? So both of them are kicked out. We're not living this way because this will liberate us from the material world. We're living this way because it's favorable to bhakti. Right? It's very important, this aspect, because otherwise, because we look at it that, okay, transcendental is not material, so that's good. Right? But it's no more good than piety. We'll say, going to the heavenly planets is not good. Right? But same way, liberation is just the same. So in other words, we're living simply, we're dealing on this platform of faith and engaging everything we have in Krishna's service because it pleases Krishna. Right? That's why we're doing it. Not for some other purpose. Right? Does that make sense? That's a difference. It's a difference in the method. So Rupa Goswami then, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first part, second chapter, 16th verse, is saying, as long as bhukti and mukti linger in the heart, then pure bhakti cannot arise. Right? So that means those have to reduce. So the desire, one's drive for liberation, one's drive for material desire, that has to not be prominent. As that reduces, then pure bhakti arises. Right? And the more that goes down, the more the pure bhakti is there. There'll always be, of course, an overlap. But that overlap is based on what is prominent in your life. Right? What's prominent, then that makes it, then you say that's what's happening. Pure bhakti, because that's more prominent than the desire for materialism. Does that make sense? Right? It's not that when there's nothing of any fault in the heart, you know, zero, then only then pure bhakti. No, because pure bhakti is the natural position of the living entity. As his drive for materialism and goes down, the pure devotion comes up. Right? So whichever is more prominent, when the materialism is more prominent, then the devotional is the neophyte stage. As the pure devotion becomes more prominent, that's called the madhyam stage. Then when complete removal of any of the material concepts of liberation and all that, then that is the uttam stage, right? Then you're dealing with the subtleties of thinking that you're, you know, a special devotee, great devotee, advanced. That kind of thing is there. And then when that goes, then you come to pure, unalloyed devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, it's the motive that's important in here. The desire for mukti is quite contrary to bhakti. Among the five types of mukti, salokya, samipya, swarupya, sharshti, and sayujya, Sayuja Mukti is extremely contrary. But the devotees do not even aspire for the four other types of mukti, as Srimad Bhagavatam says. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, salokya, sharshti, samipya, sorupya, or ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-13. Right, so even desire to be on the same planet, have the same form, the same opulences, right, to be a close associate, that's not what is desired for. Right? What is desired is simply to please the Lord. Right? We see when it says so many, we hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, right? And how nice they are and how they interact. But have you ever seen prayers by Radharani? Right? Means where she is offering, or where she is talking about Krishna, not in the, how you say, in the specific, the interaction. But she says, I'm just a maidservant, I'm just a servant. I just want to be able to render some service. That's all she says. She's not going on some big, big conjugal thing. She's just saying, I'm just a servant, and all I want to do is, you know, just be, you know, that atom of dust at Krishna's feet. That's where this prayer comes from. Right? It means after this, we'll go into that. But then, you know, just, I'm happy to be just an atom of dust at Krishna's lotus feet. Right? So that element there, so she's not saying that I may always be with Krishna, this, that. No, she just wants to serve. If it pleases Krishna that we're around, then that makes us happy. If it pleases Krishna that we're not around, then that also makes it. As long as he's pleased, that makes us happy. We may not like the situation, but we're happy. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what we're looking for. Like that. That kind of thing, then that brings out the pure unalloyed bhakti that we're looking for. Otherwise, then there's some other thing involved that you're wanting, even if it's spiritual. Then the difficulty comes up is that it doesn't turn into pure unalloyed bhakti. It'll just stay at the stage of pure. Right? That's your Vaikuntha. And those is pure devotional service. Only Braj is this pure unalloyed devotional service. Because there's no nothing else. There's no mix of anything. Right. There is no special qualification for sadhana bhakti as there is in varnashrama. Any person who develops faith, as described above, has the qualification for bhakti. Such a person who is qualified for bhakti, being on a higher level of qualification, is not obliged to perform karma or to indulge in vikarma. Qualified for bhakti, he has no taste for sinful activity. If a sinful act by chance takes place, its effect is destroyed by bhakti itself. One does not depend on atonements, prayaschitta, as Srimad Bhagavatam says. Quote, one who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very, very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5-42. Okay, proper determination. Okay, now here we get into, yeah. Proper determination of one's qualification is the cause of all good qualities. Performing actions not suitable to one's qualification is the cause of all faults. Oh, this verse. Okay, so this is quote Bhagavatam. Steadiness in one's own position, proper qualification for actions, is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. Right? Okay. Performing the activities of devotion with steadiness, as mentioned in the above verse, is the direction of the scriptures. Yeah, so when this is... In the BBT printing, then, it brings out the element that this is anything that is connected with Krishna, that is called piety. Anything not connected with Krishna, even if in the material sphere it's considered good, right? Whether it's proper performance of activities, whether it's, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you know, anything like this, religious, ethical, moral, if it's not in connection with Krishna, it's impiety. Right? So here, then he's saying, by engaging in one's natural position, right? It means what one is suitable for, that's the cause of all good things, and not acting is bad. So you can look at it in two ways. One is the conditioned nature, that whatever is the suitable position, you act according to that, engage that in Krishna's service. Otherwise, what happens is we will do something that's not proper. Right? We won't be engaged. Not proper means not engaged. Right? The question is not that something sinful happens, it's that we're not properly engaged. Because the sinful act is not what one is planning to do. That is what one's determination is, trying to be engaged in devotional service. Something comes up, but that's not one's main focus, right? So that will go away because we won't see, it's not happening really. It doesn't continue. It's unsteady. And then it disappears. Does that make sense? But if that's a determination, then one has to situate yourself properly. But the actual real situation of the soul is that he's situated according to his qualification, which means to be engaged in Krishna's service. Right? Not engaged according to his qualification is being in the material world. Right? Being in the material world isn't what you'd say is the natural situation for it. It's not the suitable action for the qualification of the soul. Does that make sense? So you got this double layer that is happening here. One is one should be engaged in devotional service, not engaged in anything else. Because if you're engaged in devotional service, all good comes from that. Not being engaged in devotional service, all bad comes from that. Right? So that's the natural. Then looking at it within the conditioned state, according to one's position, you act. That's what we're doing. It's not that we're following Varnashram. It's according to our natural position, we're engaging that position in the Lord's service. Right? That's Daiva Varnashram. Right? Because Krishna, after explaining everything, like we discussed this morning, then is saying that you're taking the position that I serve Krishna. That's my business. So now what do I have available to serve Krishna with? That I look. Right? If I'm on the liberated platform, then I have a spiritual form, that's my natural position, I use that to serve Krishna, right? According to my natural taste. If I don't have that, I'm conditioned, then according to that conditioning, I take that and engage it in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? But the point is that we're engaging in Krishna's service. That's the whole idea. Does that make sense? Why the emphasis on these things, why we're bringing this out, is that because then there is no real faith in the material, right? It's in other words, we're dealing with the material because we're dealing with according to Krishna's direction, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's how we deal with the material world. Right? That's how, just like we're supposed to be nice, right? The devotee is nice with that. He's the friend of all living entities, right? Does that make sense? So now if you're out doing something, let's say you're doing Samkirtan, how is it going to work? That you're nice to everybody and then they'll be pleasant and buy your book? Or that you're not nice and they'll buy your book? Right? What's your method?
Depends.
Funny. Huh? Okay, funny. But the main thing is nice. It's something that is some form of niceness, whether it's funny or it's, you know, sober or whatever it is. So, but you understand? Now we could take it by, okay, you want to sell a book, so therefore people are going to respond to you. If you're smiling and all that, then they'll be more comfortable with you. And because they're more comfortable with you, your chances for selling the book are better. That's one method of approach. The other is Krishna says, all living entities are His. You're supposed to be nice to them because they belong to Him. Now you go out and deal with His living entities as if they're Krishna's. If you do that, you'll get the same result, if not more. Because you're dealing with them on their natural, you know, eternal platform. That's unique. There's something about that they'll find special. You understand? So you can approach it from either way. But approaching from the one is what Krishna says. You give up all other things and just surrender to me. That's the basis of doing everything. It's because Krishna likes it like this, that's why I'm doing it that way. The other is, then we'll go down. That's the best. The next is, okay, I'm dealing with the material energy, but I'm dealing with this material energy according to the laws of that Krishna has given in the Shastra. Right? Because I'm starting with the energy. I'm dealing with it. But I'm dealing with it according to the rules. Right? Does that make sense? And that, I'm then engaging in Krishna's service, either directly or indirectly. Right? Then you drop down from that, and if I'm smart, then, you know, by hearing from others or by being very observant, I see what patterns work in this material world, and I follow those. Because if you don't follow those, it just doesn't work. Right? The speculative method just doesn't work. It's not a method that has gotten anyone anything. Right? You have to deal with something as it actually responds. Right? So as you're dealing with the nature, then you're smart. You do this, you get a better result, then you go that way. You deal with it and it gets a worse result, you don't go that way. You go up to the dog and go coochie coochie coo, he bites your finger off, you don't do that again. Right? You try another method. You know, like, listen, my, you know, so whatever it is, you just try something different. Right? Does that make sense? So these are the various methods you have. Right? Then there's the person who has his own idea what it is, and they never get anywhere. They're very nice people, but nothing ever happens in their life. Right? This is where the saying, get a life, comes from. It's for these kind of people. Right? So in here, he's trying to make this fine distinction between the levels of devotional service, the qualification. Remember, this came back as the qualification for devotional service. Like that. So these qualifications are you starting with yourself and connecting that to Krishna, or you're starting with Krishna and then connecting that back to yourself? Right, so that's the highest, is starting with Krishna. But if you're going to start with yourself and connect it to Krishna, then the best is you're doing it according to Krishna's laws. Right? Then down from that, you just do whatever you're going to do anyway and try to connect that to Krishna. Right? So in here, when he's saying we don't follow the varnashram's not important, that there's no special qualifications as there is in varnashram. Because in Varnashram you're talking material qualification and this and that. So bhakti is dependent upon faith. The Varnashram then is useful. You have the qualifications for it, you follow it. You don't have, then you do something down from that. But it's understood, you know, its position. So that's why one has to know. Proper determination of one's qualification is the cause of all good quality. Then you see where it is. Right? Proper determination. So that means that it's like I am at this position. I can't follow this, but I can do this. Okay, I can't be the, you know, Uber Swami. So therefore, I'm a Grihastha, right? So then, in that position, then I engage myself accordingly, right? Or no, I mean, I'm dealing here. I don't find that I have any real material need, and I haven't, you know, don't have any. Interaction like that, why should I get involved? Does that make sense? That person, then there'll be more trouble if he gets married. Because as it is, his devotional service is going very smoothly. The other person who is more comfortable being married, by him not being married, that will create his problem. Does that make sense? So you properly determine one's qualification, what will work for you. And that's how you situate yourself. Then that way, then Varnashram becomes an assistant to devotional service, not that it stands on its own. So in the same way that Varnashram doesn't stand on its own, in the same way below that, that's Dharma, Artha doesn't stand on its own. Just because it makes money, just because it's very ethical, just because it's very judicious, doesn't mean it has any value on its own. Just like sense gratification, dropping there, doesn't have any value on its own. And we pointed out here that then mukti doesn't have any value on its own. Right? So to be free from material contamination so you can be properly absorbed in Krishna, that's the only use of it. Does that make sense? So in other words, the vision has to be switched from all these mundane things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, are important on their own. Then we're taking these important things and engaging with Krishna's service. We can start from there, but we have to, by here, proper determination, then everything will work. Now, if by this, we've decided we're in this lower position, but we consider ourselves very qualified. Okay, I can't follow the Vedic thing, so I just follow what I know. That's fine. But if then you think, this is better, and this is special, and the Vedic isn't important, that means you're not understanding one's qualification. Because the point is you're not special, you're below special. Right? You're subhuman. Therefore, you can't follow it. Human beings can follow Varnashram. Subhumans cannot. Right? Therefore, that's then the proper determination. So if I'm subhuman, I should be even more humble than someone in the Varnashram system. Right? And who's on the bottom of the Varnashram system? The Brahmacharis and the Shudras. Both are very humble. It's their duty to be humble. Right? The Vaishyas get a little proud of their wealth and their charity. It's not good for them. It happens. The Kshatriya is proud of his prowess, his dignity, all that. It happens. The Brahmin of his knowledge, it happens. It's not good. But it happens. But a Shudra, when are they supposed to get proud? When is the Brahmachari supposed to get proud? No. Okay, so now if you're a tribal, you're below that. Right? Does that make sense? Tribal doesn't mean you have a bone in your nose. Tribal means you don't follow the Vedic culture. Right? So, that then means you're more humble. So if you haven't ascertained that, then that pride will be the cause of all faults. Does that make sense? So, one has to see it properly. Then it doesn't matter how you situate yourself. Right? Means we see the prayers of the fifth canto, the prayers of the different groups of personalities on the different planetary systems. So those that are the Kinaras, Kimpurushas, you know, they're half man, half animal. So they make the point, we're animals, we live out in the forest, you know, so we're a little rough on our behavior, like that. But even despite that, the Lord is so kind, he accepts our service. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the Sabaras, they understand the Sabaras. But in that position, they approach the Lord, and the Lord accepts their service. They don't become proud. Does that make sense? So if you can't become, the gopis can't be proud. They're in the rasa dance with Krishna. They are in their transcendental forms, in the highest transcendental realm, performing one of the highest transcendental interactions. And they become proud. Krishna doesn't like it. He leaves. So then why would he tolerate pride in something lower than that? If the highest he doesn't tolerate it, he won't tolerate it in the lower. Does that make sense? So, in other words, we're trying to develop a different view, a different perspective on things, a real perspective. Of just what actually is going on, who we are, where we're situated, and how we can dynamically move forward. Because it doesn't matter the situation, you can move forward. Because the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. Right? If you're in an animal form, difficult to move forward. Right? Take Prasad, then you're talking about this accumulation of devotional credits of many lifetimes. Okay? The ducks are eating Prasad, they accumulate devotional credits. Then they move forward. Right? But someone who has taken up the devotional process, right? Then he keeps everything to just what he needs, right? That doesn't mean he's, you know, has to be totally poor. It's just what, for his conditioned nature, he understands this much works. And he doesn't do more. You know what I'm saying? So it may be a palace, it may be, you know, a plastic sheet on the side of the road with a tire on top to keep it from blowing away, right? Whatever it is, that's his determination, and he connects himself to Krishna. We see that? You see this? So everything else is in consideration of that. All the varnashram, the other aspects, material considerations, they're all in support of this. Right? So they're important. Means if they're important, they're important. Right? But they're only important if they're connected to Krishna. Right? Their only importance is if they're useful in connecting to Krishna. I need to connect to Krishna in this way, so they are important. If not, they're not. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's how then, you know, Prabhupada could sit in, you know, these people's house, you know, straight, basically, karmis in America, and sit in their house, you know. He keeps his stuff in their fridge, and, you know, he cooks his lunch, and he sits there, and, you know, when their baby first gets up and walks, and he's there cheering the baby on. Because he has what he does for Krishna, and they have their level. And it doesn't bother him, right? That, oh, I'm saying this, you know, stinky karmi's house. No. These people are giving facility. The only ones in America that are giving some facility. So, he's comfortable, right? They follow what they do, and he follows what he does. Right? This is balanced. Right? So that can be gained by this process. Is that a little too smoky? Definitely no mosquitoes, but maybe move it a little bit so it's not exactly, you know what I mean? It's like, how you say? So a shirt won't smell like smoke for the next week. Is this clear? It's a very fine point, and this point can be very easily missed. And we can take something like this whole thing of prayaschitta, as he mentioned. Krishna himself, if someone is sincere, adjusts everything. But many times we forget this, and we think there has to be some mundane thing to please the mundaners. You can never please the mundaners. They have never been pleased any time, right? Is there anything in history where they've been pleased? Right? No. They talk about it, but it never happened. So the point is you please Krishna, you please the roots of the tree, all the leaves will be pleased. So if you're working and actually serving and pleasing Krishna, everybody else will be happy. But if you don't, they won't. You know, like that. It's simple. Activities of bhakti. Being qualified with the requisite faith, right? So before was qualifications. Now he's getting into activities, right? So in other words, you had the different levels that were there. He identified Kanistha Madhyam Uttam, you know, so that one knows how to place oneself. He put qualifications into perspective, right? It means how you actually view the material and the spiritual situations, how you make a decision. And now having been qualified, right, whatever one's position, then we take up the activities. Right? Being qualified with the requisite faith, the devotee performs the activities of Vaidhi Bhakti according to the scriptural injunctions. In other words, the prerequisite is faith, not something else. Like in Varnashram, you have to learn some skills. Then you can perform the activities. But bhakti doesn't require that. It simply requires the faith. Then you can perform it. Right? If you need to perform your devotional service connected with those skills of Varnashram, then you use it. But it's not the skills of Varnashram that make you qualified for bhakti. Right? So not that when we establish Varnashram, then devotional service will go nicely. No. Devotional service goes nicely because of the proper faith. The social interactions and other such things within the devotee community, that goes nicer if you use Varnashram. But the person, the individual's devotional development still happens despite that, right? The other just makes it more smooth, more easy. The material side goes easier. So the devotee, since his interest is not in materialism, therefore he wants to follow the path of least resistance on the material platform. And that's Varnashram, right? Because it's God's laws. It works smoothly. like that. You don't follow it, much more obstacles. Right? That's the reason for it. So it's not that, oh, you're more materialistic by following. No, you're less materialistic by following. But at the same time, as there are those who put that, until you're in the mode of goodness, then you can't do devotional service. Until, you know, we're following Varnashram, there can't be devotional service. Until we're all, you know, following all kinds of nice politically correct moral platitudes, where there can't be devotional service. It, like this, there's so many distractions. Right? And none of those are true. The point is, when you have faith, devotional service goes nicely. Then you use whatever facility you have according to your nature, you know, to situate yourself in the material platform to, you know, get by. Right? It's not that it's neglected, right? In the spiritual world, they don't neglect to milk the cows and make yogurt and churn it into butter and do that, make the cow dung patties like that. Some people would disagree that making cow dung patties would be a waste of, you know, how you say cow dung, because you could use it to grow cabbages, but somehow or another, Krishna doesn't mind cow dung patties being used to cook with. So, all they're performing all the activities, you know, of dharma, artha, and kama. But they're doing it all in connection to Krishna, right? They don't have to worry for liberation, they already are, right? So, the elements that creates rasas, dharma, artha, and kama, right? So that they're doing all in connection to Krishna. So if they'll be doing that in the spiritual world, why wouldn't that go on here? Right? So depending upon one's position, one is engaging. Right? Sanatana Goswami is chief minister, you know, of Nawab Hussein Shah. So he sits in his palace and he sits with 30 Brahmins and they discuss Bhagavatam. Right? Because that's his position. But that's all given up. He's not going to be involved like that. Then he sits on the side of the road, you know, with just, you know, his little old, how do you say, kanta in Sanskrit. It means patchwork quilt. You take old pieces of cloth and sew them together. They're extremely warm, but they don't necessarily look so crash. You know, maybe if your grandmother made it, it might look really good, but, you know, if it's just put together, they look pretty ordinary. Right? So he has that. So it doesn't matter for him. Right, Yudhishthira is sitting in the palace, in Indraprastha, or he's out in the forest. For him, it doesn't actually matter. Right? For his wife, it does, but for him, it doesn't matter. Right? But even his wife is only considering that he deserves to be king, not Duryodhana. That's why she's worried. Right? Does that make sense? So for the devotee, it's just whatever is the practical situation. So requisite faith is what's important, not some other skill. These other skills are useful for the performance of your activities, but they do not constitute the devotion itself. Right? That you're trying to do those things for Krishna, that's considered devotion. But they themselves are not devotion. Like that, one must be able to distinguish, you know. The devotee performs the activities of Vaidhi Bhakti according to the scriptural injunctions. There are many angas or activities of bhakti, but they may be abbreviated as 64. These are, taking shelter of the authorized guru, taking initiation and teachings from guru, serving the guru, following the path of the previous devotees, inquire about the ultimate truth, renouncing material enjoyment for Krishna, living in a devotional tirtha, accepting what is necessary to maintain the body, observing ekadasi, respect for the ashwata and datri trees. These 10 angas are the beginning of devotional service and must be practiced. So now this is the sixth chapter of Nectar Devotion. Right. Okay, so what it means is there's so many things that could be done, but these are given, 64 are given so that one can focus, right? Just like Krishna has unlimited qualities, but we say he has 64. Because these are prominent, and then from there, everything else, you know, the subtleties will expand. So 64 is something you can focus on. You can actually, be able to keep in one's consciousness. Beyond that, there's subtleties within that, because you might have a mix of them or something, you know, how you say. Renouncing, living in a devotional tirtha, you know, under an ashwata tree, you know, while serving the guru. You know what I'm saying? So there'll be all these mixes and fine points. Right? The next 10 are giving up material association, not making unqualified disciples, giving up big material endeavors, giving up studying of books devoid of bhakti, or superficial study of bhakti shastra. Really? Giving up superficial study of bhakti shastra. Or argumentation on the same. Not being miserly in dealings. Not falling into lamentation. Giving up disrespect to devatas. Not giving agitation to other entities by one's work. Giving up seva and nama aparads. Avoiding hearing criticism of Krishna or his devotees. These 10 are practiced by avoidance. Right. So these first 10 are what must be established, and then these next one is what is avoided. The chief amongst all the 20 are taking shelter of guru, taking initiation, and serving the guru. Those are the first ones. Right? Because then teachings from the guru, serving the guru means you're going to follow his instructions, you're going to, under him, follow in the path of the previous acharyas, you're going to acquire about the absolute truth, so everything else will expand from there. Because taking shelter and serving the guru means all the 64 will be included, because that's what he's going to train you in. Wearing the marks of a Vaishnava, wearing the names on the body, receiving the flower remnants, dancing before the Lord, offering obeisances, standing when the Lord approaches, following the procession of the Lord, going to the temple, parikrama, deity worship, service to the deity, singing, samkirtan, japa, vigyapti, that's an offering of prayers. But where you're seeing that I'm... Offering praise to the Lord, tasting prasadam, taking the foot wash, means charinamrita, smelling the incense or flowers, touching the deity, seeing the deity, performing artik, seeing festivals, receiving the Lord's glance, offering things dear to oneself, putting forth all effort for Krishna's sake, surrender to the Lord's will in all cases, service to Tulsi, Bhagavatam, Mathura, and Vaishnavas, holding festivals along with the devotees, observance of Kartik Vrata, celebration of Janmashtami, etc. Serving the deity, relishing the meaning of the Bhagavatam in association of devotees, association with advanced devotees, Nama Samkirtan, and living in Mathura. Even with a little practice of these last five items, so that will mean 1, 2, 3, 4. Serving the deity, relishing the meaning of the Bhagavatam in association of devotees, association with advanced devotees, Nama Samkirtan, and living in Mathura. Even with a little practice of the last five items, a person can obtain bhava bhakti. Among the items, some are engagement for the body, some for the senses, and some for the mind. In other words, vaidhi sadhana bhakti may be defined as the method of engaging the body, mind, and senses in Krishna's service. Some devotees reach perfection by practice of one item, and others many. The material results which these activities yield are recorded in the scriptures. But these are only meant for encouraging the materialistic person. Actually, the main result of any of the items of sadhana bhakti is attraction of the jiva to Krishna. Right? Because we said before is that attraction, that's going to start that process where raganuga, that makes the difference. So by following the vaidhi sadhana, any of them, or a mixture of them, it will develop the attraction for Krishna. Right? So this idea of that vaidhi has no place, no, vaidhi is the basis. By following vaidhi, attraction comes. Right? And that attraction then turns into deep attachment, which then turns into bhava, which turns into prema. Right? So without starting on vaidhi, it won't work. Right? Because if one is saying one's continuing from last life, it will be obvious when we'll start on a very high platform. But we see all the acharyas always started on Vaidhi, right? Very quickly they moved forward, you know, sometimes days, weeks, months, and then they move from, you know, completely new to the process to acharya. So, but the point is they went through the full process, right? Though the items of bhakti are classified as 64, they are factually only 9 items, as Srimad Bhagavatam says. Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5-23-24. Okay, so this gives the connection between these 64 items and the 9, or the 5. The 5 and the 64 has been given, right? And so then, now the 5 and the 64, the 5 and the 9, right? Is that they're actually all just ways? It's how to define the how to perform the 9 activities of bhakti: the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Right. By that, then it becomes divided for so you can understand what is favorable to performance of these 9 processes, what's not, right? And then what are all these various activities in which they are covered? Does that make sense? Right? Because they cover all that: the worship of the deity, hearing Bhagavatam, all these different things. So the Shravanam, Kirtanam, in the association of devotees, that's all going on. Does that make sense? Right. Chaitanya Charitamrita says the same in Madhya Lila, 22.118. Those knowledgeable of bhakti do not say that the acts of karma are at any time an anga or activity of bhakti. Unless an action loses its fruit of intention and attains the form and name of causeless devotion, it does not become bhakti. Notice what it mentions here: fruit of intention. It doesn't say the form. Right? When it loses its fruit of intention, then it attains the form and name of devotion. Right? So this is the problem, is that the inability to split between activity and intention of activity. Right? Naturally, certain activities go along with certain intentions. But the point is, devotional service doesn't have to work like that. So karma, so that's why Varnashram, Rupa Goswami will give a whole definition that Varnashram technically is not part of the devotional process. Right? Because then in Dasyam, then the element, it can also be defined of following Varnashram connected to Krishna. But the Varnashram itself isn't the devotional activity. Right? The devotional activity is serving Krishna through pleasing him by following his rules, right? Therefore, he gives the Varnashram system. So it's in that approach that these, like other Vaishnava Sampradayas, like the Madhvas and the Shris, Varnashram is very, very essential in their lifestyle, in their practice, like that. There's no question that it's not. Therefore, we see Ramananda Rai, then when he was asked about, you know, devotional service, he started from that platform with Varnashram. He says that's external, that's the body, that's the different things that are going on. It doesn't mean it's not useful, but you just said Varnashram. You know, following the principles of Varnashram to please the Lord. But the point is it's doing the action for the pleasure of the Lord. That's what becomes important, right? He mentions that before, is that when it got to the point of that there was the intention was mentioned, then he said, now we have something to work with. Right? So this Lord Chaitanya's rejection of Varnashram here was that itself is the devotion. Because we can't take it that he rejected it, otherwise why is he known as a strict follower of it? Right? And all his followers followed it. So, you know, and in Vrindavan they basically follow it. In Dwarka they follow it. You know, so it can't be there's something wrong. But Varnashram on its own is not bhakti. Right? It's meant to be bhakti, but when it comes here into this world, then coming through the rules and regulations, people generally take it up as karma. Very few understand its form to know the Lord through that. It means I engage my conditioned nature in the Lord's service, like that, and how to do that. Few understand that. I guarantee if you ask anybody who studied Manusamhita, they will not tell you that this is actually the purpose of the book. But as we discussed this morning, it's right there in the invocation, in the second verse. Three verses of the invocation, the second verse says that. But no one will catch it. Right? So that's what's different. They already know Varnashram, the sadhus, the sages. It said the great sages approach Brahma. Right? And so that means they're already, if they're sages, they're already following these things. But they come because he knows how to connect it to Vishnu, because he got it from Vishnu. So he must know the connection. So they're approaching him. So this fine point here means unless an action loses its fruit of intention, because you're going to have to act anyway. Otherwise you throw out Varnashram because it's external. You're going to have to throw out everything else. You're eating, you're sleeping, everything else is also external. Your breathing is external. Stop breathing, you know, all this mundane breathing, you know, like that. Are you thinking of Krishna when you breathe in? Yes. When I breathe in, I think, I'm only maintaining this body for Krishna's service. Right? And then I breathe out and think, yes, this will be for the benefit of all of Krishna's living and immovable living entities, that they may this way perform their service according to God's laws. And then I breathe in again, thinking like that. No, it doesn't happen. So, therefore, we're going to have to say is that you drop that, you have to drop everything. It's not practical. So the point is it's not that it's dropped. It's a matter of its fruitive intention is given up. Because otherwise, all these things have some form. You're going to do something. Harinam, this, that. Some management has to be there. Someone has to be in charge. Someone had to go and order the mridangas. That means someone had to get the money to buy them. Right? All these different things had to go on to do the Samkirtan. Like we're studying Bhagavatam. Did the books just drop out of the sky? No, they have this press, you know, that was, you know, brought in by ship from Germany, right? And stuck, you know, by some guys on a crane on the second floor so it doesn't, you know, the flood doesn't get it. No, so all that's pure devotional service? No. That's mundane management. But they're doing it to please Krishna, therefore it's devotional service. So in the same way, the Varnashram on its own is useless, but done for Krishna, then is useful. So it's not that it's different, a different category. It's the same thing, the same principle. Right. Like that. Oops. Okay. Confirmed. Okay. So is that clear? It's this mentality, the intention. You change the intention, you change your life. Right? You don't change the intention, then you're kind of stuck with the old you, right? And that old has been around. You know, you can say the anadi you, right? You know, the conditioned you since time immemorial, right? So by changing the intention, that's what makes the difference. Like that. Okay, so and continue on Monday, right? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Jai.